Greetings and welcome to TIU, theinfounderground.com. Today's date is Sunday, 14th of December in the year 2008. I'm your host, Ogner. Welcome to the show. Little Sunday rant. Nothing's really changed here. Working hard at my job. Having a good time, actually learning a lot of new stuff. Local Swiss news, still no obvious sign of the recession coming, although the Swiss Central Bank has cut the 3-month interest rate to 0.05%, a half point drop during the week. Some talk about pink slips, but I'm sure this would be quite similar to the financial debacle that we're in now with this credit crunch and these Zionist Jewish bankers and the problems that they've created and these financial weapons of mass destruction and the derivatives that these Zionists and their lobbyists and their henchmen or the U.S. Senate pass laws, you know, allowing these bankers to free run the place, and now we look where we're in. I want to talk about tonight about Ireland and different things, and well, obviously we get into the bankers and, you know, 50 billion there and Ponzi schemes and whatever. But I do have a guest, a returning guest, Daryl Bradford Smith from I Am The Witness. Might as well have Daryl on, he's always up for a show. Hard working guy. Never too shy with his thoughts and feelings on the current situation in the world. So we'll be back shortly. We're back shortly with Daryl. And I'm going to leave you with another little bit of the opening music, which is Thin Lizzy, as we say in Ireland, Thin Lizzy. And I'll be back shortly with Daryl. I do believe we are joined by Daryl Bradford Smith. Daryl, how are you doing?
Very, very well, Ogner. It's nice to be back on your program with you. I've been off the air for a little while here, as my listeners know, and it's nice to have another opportunity to continue to speak to people.
Well, you know, from what I know, I prefer that we could actually get a little bit more support for you from CII. You know, they have such a large base and a subscription base that they could actually, you know, actually step up to the plate when they say they'll do something and get it on. Otherwise, they're going to lose a good show.
Well, you know, they've had their own management problems. Who knows what kind of problems they have? I mean, they don't share with me their administrative challenges down there. So, I'm a guy, you know, 5,000 miles away from them, trying to do a show, and they seem to drop the ball a little bit. But it might be because of finances or other problems. Who knows? But the message remains as important as ever, if not more. And you're right; it'd be a shame if we didn't continue working together down there.
Yeah, I think that can be easily rectified, and just takes a bit of backing up what you say you'll do. Darren, time's against me as always. I've worked and a lot of work. There's a couple of issues I'd like to cover this week. One is definitely the absolute current situation in my home country of Ireland and this upcoming vote. And
yep.
There's a few other things. We could start off probably with a little Ponzi scheme, a $50 billion Ponzi scheme. We have another Zionist Jew that I find very peculiar, the story that his two sons show up the night before and they actually turn them into the cops. But when you look into that story a little bit, you'll see that the two sons have been working with him for 20 years. So working with him for 20 years and they didn't know they were part of a Ponzi scheme, Madoff and his family.
Yeah, no, that, you know, that, who knows what's going on with that in reality, Ogner. I got to say, though, that that I think that there's probably schemes like that one across the world, but principally in America and in Europe, that are, have yet to come to light. You know, it won't be until we completely get rid of these people legitimately from our lives that we'll really discover how much crime they've committed.
But Darryl, you know, the people will say, and as has been said, that you know, the stock market is down, you know, $5 trillion worldwide, maybe $10 trillion in this little Zionist correction. The money goes somewhere. I don't think that's absolutely true. I think most of this money was invented, and we have, for example, of that, you know, a $50 billion dollar Ponzi scheme. This guy is they're worried that from the Israeli media I've been reading, they're very worried about their because this guy's a philanthropist and he gives good Jewish causes lots of money, but he's been giving other people other people's money to these Jewish I wouldn't even call them charitable. I mean, there's that many of them. He's involved in Jewish university. This guy is all over the place, and you know, he's been built up for 40 or 50 years. This guy, another thing I found very disturbing is he's a former chairman of the NASDAQ, and that got me thinking, if this guy has been in a Ponzi scheme for years and years, you know, he learned it somewhere. You know, what is your impression of the NASDAQ and of these markets now that have all gone electronic?
Well, okay, let's talk about the markets for a minute. If your listeners are well read on the news, you'll remember that a man named Grasso from the New York Stock Exchange was embroiled in some shenanigans and getting payback and payola and a huge multi-billion dollar kickback at the end of his term. There's nothing new about the leadership of these American stock markets being full of corruption. What I'm willing to tell you right now is that the corruption doesn't end in New York. Canada is probably the most corrupt market in the world. And of course, you'll notice that they target the gold companies up there, trying to suppress gold prices so they can continue this Ponzi scheme of the dollar, which is the real scheme, the real theft. But this guy is, of course, was the president of the Yeshiva University, which over the last 15 years has gone from number 50 in the United States up to number 9 or 10 in rankings. Now, who the heck is ranking these people, you have to ask? Well, U.S. News and World Report, which is a guy named Zuckerman, Mort Zuckerman, another Jew, Zionist, clearly a criminal, multi-billionaire. So the fact is, it's a network thing. The fact that he turned himself in is bizarre to me. I don't understand exactly why he would do that. You know, they've got enough clout still in the judiciary, in the judicial system in the United States, to have covered it up. There might be other things, other reasons why this guy was let to fall. And the last thing I want the people to understand is that these charities are often fronts. Many times they're fronts for Mossad activity, for Shin Bet activity, for Sayam activity, for laundering, money laundering activity, or for the biggest job they do, for brainwashing activity of the Israeli public or of the Jewish community in America or the world. So this is yet to be completely sussed out, Noel. There's a lot more to come.
Yeah, I think we'll hear a lot more about you'll see these rats running for every exit, and you know, some of them are going to be top dual citizen Israelis in America. They, you know, there are these billionaires. America, a place where 70% of the billionaires are Jewish, and that's replicated across the world. I think some of these rats are going to be running for their exits, and some of them are going to get caught, and we'll see which ones are in and which ones have been paying homage to the actual leading Zionists.
Well, you know, this one guy in that meatpacking plant that we've discussed on the French Connection, I think we talked about it the last show, the judge in that case, interestingly enough, said that they don't believe that person should be given bail. Name is Abrams, a Shabbat Lubavitch Hasidic Jew, because he's a dual citizen Israeli, and they believe that he would be, based upon that information, he would probably leave the country and be beyond prosecution if he were to be given bail. So they didn't let him out of jail. Yeah. Now, that again is a rare event in America. You know, there are very few Jewish criminals that ever ever do time. I mean, Jonathan Pollard's one of them.
Dangerous.
And I'm still...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm still waiting for Pollard on this, by Bush, to be pardoned for his crimes and released from jail. He probably will, at the end of his term, release Pollard.
I have the same feeling. I think a lot more of our American activists need to get into it and make sure that that the message goes out that this guy is... That would not be a good decision. But then again, Bush is... he'll do what his puppet masters have been telling him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, interesting though. I mean, at this point, the PR game for these people is being lost. Now, of course, this week I read something in the European press that says they want closer ties with Israel economically. That the European Union wants to do more business with Israel. They want to include them in economic discussions for European Union. Blah blah blah. And what they're trying to do is bring Israel into a loose fitting relationship to the European Union officially. Now, that is bad press for these people, because the world is beginning to wake up to the fact that Zionist Jews are behind most of our problems. And the fact that that they would be working harder at trying to integrate Israel into Europe is a clear indication that these people are desperate, and they probably don't think they could integrate them in 6 months or a year because of the flow of history. So they're going to try to do this integrating before everybody finds out about the Israeli crime gangs. But I think it's too late. And every time Israel has a new issue or a new problem, they're sinking lower and lower in the minds of the Western public. And I think we're winning in inches here, but they're piling up. The inches are piling up. So, I think they're going to pull the rug out from the rest of us. But again, you wanted to talk about that Irish vote. Now, this is integral to their incorporation of Europe into this this new crime wave they're developing, this new criminal super state, if you'll allow. And the Irish have been the only country in Europe, not the only country, because the French actually were the first. They said they didn't want this European Union constitution. They said it was a rotten bill, a rotten law, a rotten treaty, and they didn't want it. So what did their politicians do? Criminal enact. They circumvented the public and ratified it anyway at the legislative level rather than at the electoral level. Now, what's happening in Ireland is they're going to bring it back for another vote, and you and I both discussed privately that we both think they'll probably do some cheating. And my advice to the Irish public at this point is to make this such a landslide loss for these people that cheating won't even get it done for them. That even though they're going to cheat on that vote, which they will, because all the politicians are behind it, so they're going to find ways of miscounting votes or cheating, but even with cheating, it'll be such a landslide that they're going to lose anyway. And that means we have to mobilize. And I've told you this is a very important vote for Ireland.
Absolutely.
Because if they lose there, this constitution is voided European-wide. And this is a big pillar. This is a loss of sovereignty for each individual country in Europe when they join this mess. And the next thing we need to do is start dismantling this European Union completely.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to remind people that might not know, there's been a pork scare in Ireland, spread into the beef, and the Irish government, the health board, actually recommended last week not to eat any Irish pork. And there might be something to it. I read it more as propaganda, and I have quite a few people in Ireland that send me emails, and one of the latest emails I got, which will bring up some names that you should know about. There is a particular private group, I won't mention for the moment, and they're looking to buy into the Irish banks, which are very, very vulnerable now. Bank of Ireland, Allied Irish Bank, are very, very vulnerable. There are six of them. They're very vulnerable. Prices are down. And we have, it was actually my brother, Robert, that actually sent me an email from the RTE.ie website, and the name of the group that wants to buy into Irish banks is the Carlyle Group.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's Kissinger and the Queen.
The Queen, the Bushes, and there are a couple of local politicians saying, look into these people, look into the Bushes, for example, and their dealings with the Bin Ladens prior to 9/11. So, you have... The Irish economy has gone way down. House prices, they'll tell you officially, they're down 20-25%. They're down more like 40%. If you can actually, sell your house. We have another problem that I was reading about is. All the pension money is gone. No surprise.
No, that's no surprise. It's going to happen throughout the United States as well, and that's going to be another big shoe to drop. Trillions of dollars worth of pension funds have evaporated in the United States. That's going to leave a lot of people destitute for their retirement in the United States. A lot of baby boomers who are now retiring have nothing to look forward to except a minimum payment on a debased dollar's Social Security, which is going to be just enough for about 2 weeks' food, and then the rest of the month they're going to be starving. And that's what's on the horizon for most people who put their money in pension funds.
Yeah, I think that will go worldwide. I'd like to also say Daryl, thanks to people who do send it. I know that you get emails with different info every day, and it's not possible to answer every single one of them, but I do read them. If you keep sending me links, I don't think they're any good, I'll spam them eventually, but there's some good stuff coming in via email.
Yes, there are. One gal I'd like people to pay attention to maybe and give me more information on is this Mary Lou McDonald. She's an MEP, a member of the European Parliament from Sinn Féin. And Sinn Féin's group now, you know, there are rumblings within Sinn Féin that they don't want to be part of this vote pro-European. They want to be against it. And she's come out strongly against the vote for the European Union. Now, the fact that she's a member of the European Parliament is rather sad. That means that she is somehow endorsing the European experiment, which is a terrible idea because it's turning over sovereignty of each individual country to Zionist Jewish control. But maybe she can be educated. If she's so close to this issue and not that far away from our opinion on some things, maybe we can begin to talk to Mary Lou McDonald and have a conversation directly with her.
Absolutely. People can find out an email address or a telephone number, I'll always pass it on to Daryl Smith at IamTheWitness.com. There are some Ireland's going to be really put in the spotlight now. Like Irish people my age and older, which is just gone 42, so anywhere between the ages of say 30, 35 and onwards, if they remember Ireland 23 years ago when I left it, there was over 20% unemployment. VAT was at 23% or something, and there was absolutely no hope. And then I won't say then I left and the place that I took off, but within 2 or 3 years we had all this business coming from Zionist money in the United States to build up Ireland as a kind of an experiment, because these bankers don't do things that we know are a week's plan. These are well thought out scenarios, and I have more of a feeling that Ireland has been played. Similar to the US, the Irish politicians are basically told what to say, and they'll go along with, for example, the last one voting yes to Europe, and you know, the majority of people didn't want it. The polls told them prior to the vote they didn't want it, and these people, besides a couple of members of Sinn Féin, were the only ones that voted against it, but the rest of the politicians all jumped on this. So I'm saying that it's possible that Ireland has been used as a testing ground where they build the country up in a 25-year period and then absolutely pull the carpet out below Ireland. And I think we're going to see a huge, huge downturn in Ireland in 2009. The signs are already there. And I'm not just talking about Ireland, I'm talking about Portugal. They've gone negative, recession. We're talking about Spain, Sweden,
France,
although they're divvying up the numbers in France. They slightly missed their recession numbers and they were positive. No one seems to know why. But all of Europe is going to get hit, and we're going to be very, very vulnerable to new legislation, for example, by our puppet regime, whether it's the European Parliament or local, the national, to vote in things that will help us out of this recession, depression. And we'll be playing more into their hands, Daryl.
Well, you know, it's not above these people to say, look, Ireland, we'll give you some more European money to re-jumpstart your economy if you can vote yes on this bill. But the fact is they're going to be taking money with their left hand and selling out their lives and their families and their futures to this criminal gang, because look, in Brussels, even though Mary Lou McDonald supposedly represents Ireland, the fact of the matter is that most of the Brussels legislation that goes through for Europe-wide laws do not serve the public in any way. In fact, they take away from the area I live in, especially a farming area. They rob the farmer of his independence and his ability to manage his farms. And now what's happening is they're forcing these people out of business. I'm watching farms around me go bankrupt left, right, and center. It is probably the worst year for farmers I've ever seen in France. And this is at the same time, some of the highest commodity prices we've had in generation, but still farmers are failing left, right, and center because of regulations handed down out of Brussels. Now, if food is important to you, then you need to vote against Europe. If culture, if you want to save your culture and not have European fast food outlets all over your communities and keep your local food qualities and your local cultural qualities, you've got to get rid of Brussels. Brussels is a bane, is a sickness. And the Irish have seen this, and there's many, many more people coming to the fact that the European idea is a bad idea because it does not represent the people, it represents the elites.
Yeah, Darrell, listen, let's we'll kind of get back towards that, but there's another important one. I see you have it up on your website. Very, very disturbing. Most people now get, you know, short on time and being fed over generations on clips of video or audio, and, you know, that's the news. We have the biggest site on the internet, which is number two or number three, YouTube, that are now in partnership with Mossad and the ADL. Would you like to tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I don't think that's a new development. I think they've been involved with those people for some time. Although, you know, as soon as you saw Google, which owns YouTube, moving their headquarters, their worldwide headquarters, to an Israeli location, and of course their participation at the management and director level of Google is completely Mossad-owned. I don't use Google search engine ever. I use Yahoo or any other, but I don't use Google. Google is a crime, is a Mossad and Zionist criminal network, and now that they took over YouTube about a year or two ago, that is also in their hands as well. And of course, now you're seeing more and more propaganda being spewed out on the YouTube. What I would suggest people do is start finding alternatives to YouTube and popularize them. Of course, after something becomes popular, they'll buy that one up too. But YouTube is just a propaganda organ, and you know, people who use it, Manol, I think, you know, I still watch YouTube stuff, and we do some stuff trickles through as truth. But the people running it are criminals. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Well, listen, I'll just read, I'll quote you a part of that link, which is to the daily.pk, a Pakistani news site. Yesterday it was announced that YouTube officially connected to the infamous ADL as partners to the fight against hate. So the official bit is actually adopting the protocols of the ADL. Now, there was a guy I was chatting to this morning when I got up, Darrell, before going to work, someone you know, Rye Dawson, and we were chatting about, you know, different things. He's, you know, he's back in the US, hoping to get him on to do a show with him, you know, time permitting and whatever. And he just came back. If people know, if you're on Skype and you're on for an hour or two, you're not typing for 2 hours. You can leave a message to watch this link and, you know, pass around information as we do. And he came back after about half an hour, and he said, they just removed my video. And I went back to him, and I wasn't there, 2 minutes there. I said, yeah, what are you talking about? And he said he posted yesterday a video on Palestine, and it was removed, it was banned by the censors. And he just said to me, I won't read it word for word, I do have the chat open, and he said something about, they don't censor when I talk about North Korea, Tibet, Africa, Mexico, or Native Americans, but if if it's the Palestinians, it gets the axe. And this, that's his own words he said to me this morning, and I posted to him directly one of the links, a similar link, Darrell, to the ADL taking the ADL protocols taking over this fight against hate. And this is quite funny, coming from the most hateful people in the world.
Well, probably the most hateful people in the history of humanity. But I have to agree with his take. It's an abomination. But here it is. If we can find another source, there are other platforms out there. Some of them are actually getting quite popular that can be used. We should go for them. Some of those are also Zionist controlled. However, you know, they don't want the story of Palestine out. That's why right now there are practically no Western journalists even in Gaza. The starvation that we're reporting about is largely coming from outside of Gaza. There are very few people actually seeing it on the ground. But that place is being starved to death. And, of course, everyone knows deliveries from outside that have attempted to be delivered to the Palestinians have been stopped. And we're not talking guns and ammunition, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about medicine. We're talking about food. We're talking about things to supply their lives, some fuel oil, and to run their generating plant. They have no electricity. There's septic and sewerage piling up in their homes. No running water because the wells have stopped pumping. There's no electricity to run their pumps. The place is absolutely being murdered. There's a genocide being enacted against the Palestinians in a new, more aggressive fashion. And the Israelis absolutely don't want anything coming out about this. So, of course, anybody who speaks about it on a YouTube presentation is going to be stopped. Now, the censors he was talking about were the Israeli-controlled YouTube censors, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, you know, that was these guys, the official signing was yesterday, and Ry Dawson, who has a bunch of videos on, you know, many, many things, check him out on YouTube, Ry Dawson, Ry's Two Cents is the name of his forums. I haven't been there in a while. He said he's a lot of stuff going on there. You can check out his forums. I'm just reading a story there about Google censoring search results as well, that it is another Mossad Israeli front.
And you know what? My website, Noel, would be a good example for you to give a good example of that. Put Darrell Bradford Smith in quotes and check your search engine in Yahoo. You'll get 293,000 hits for Darrell Bradford Smith in quotations. If you do it on Google, you'll get about 12,000. From 292,000 to 12,000 on Google. Now, it gets even worse. The top 20 or so sites that they give for my name are all against me except one or two, which is astonishing. So basically what you're seeing is anybody who tries to find information about me is going to hear that, you know, they're going to hear Eric Hufschmidt's take on me, or they're going to hear, I don't know, that I did an interview with Morgan there. What's his name? The no planer idiot. It's going to be a nonsense. It's going to be putting me in a very bad light, not promoting any of the work we've done. And that's Google. And I don't use them. I have gone to them to find out how badly they are censoring me. But it's incredible how much they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, more official that our struggle against this oppression isn't going to, they're not going to make it any easier. You know, we've had a decent run with being allowed to give out alternative information and stuff people should definitely check out. But these people, they have something to hide.
They certainly do. And you know, when I'm surfing the net, I got to tell you something. More and more things are coming across my screen here saying not accessible from your area, or forbidden content. I'm getting messages on my screen that say that I can't see certain things. And so what we're starting to see is censoring starting to really ramp up on the internet. If More than I've ever seen ever.
Well, it's you know, all the big ISPs now are you know, they all have their little black boxes in, and they're going along with Internet 2, which is when we get all faster, much faster Internet, we have Internet 2, which everything will be filtered from the Internet service provider, the ISP, and you'll end up getting messages on your screen saying that's forbidden, and then you get a second one saying, we've already told you, next time we're going to kick down your door, Darl.
That's not out of the question. Hey, no, you know, you mentioned some of these other organizations, but you also know that Alexa is owned by Amazon. I think it's Amazon, or is it Jeff Bezos owns it, I think.
Yeah.
When I was starting to get some numbers in Africa, now if you take a look at that map you put up there, South Africa has some pretty big red circles on it. A lot of people in just Johannesburg and Pretoria and Cape Town have been listening. They were actually the third largest visitor to my site. And once those numbers started climbing, they got rid of them completely off of Amazon. I mean, off of Alexa. They stopped counting South Africa altogether. They stopped counting other countries that were growing for me as well. So when you look at Alexa saying, you know, I got 130, 125,000th in the world, the fact is that any time I start growing in a single market, they start eradicating any of the statistics that would arrive at Alexa's numbers.
Well, I'm just looking at that map myself, Darl. It's been up for a while. Numbers, I wouldn't agree with the numbers, but it's another view of the sort of places you're getting access into, and it's quite amazing. I mean, I'm just looking on the map. You're everywhere. What can I say? There's a couple of countries in Africa, maybe one or two that don't seem to have any red spots on it, but otherwise you seem to be everywhere else. Big in China, Japan, Europe, and America. Won't talk about South America, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, India, Pakistan, some of the Bitches stands, Russia, although Russia comes up as a big one from Moscow because it's probably the ISP, Iceland, Norway, all over the place, Ireland, England, all over Europe, amazing.
It is, and the fact is, we are growing in Central America, South America, and in Africa, and they are the people most subjugated. If, of course, you know this latest thing with Somalia. There are a lot of minerals to be stolen there. It's no different than Sudan when the Janjaweed went in there and stole the land and murdered the native population. And now, of course, you're going to start seeing mineral exploration and oil exploration go in right behind them for you know, they're going to steal all those resources from that poor country.
Sorry, Darl, we had a bit of a technical glitch there, and we're back on. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that map, if somebody goes to the bottom of the French Connections website, you'll notice that red dot map. Press on it, open it up on your desktop, and you'll see an advertisement by Google of a phone company that says America equals Canada equals Israel equals Britain. And, of course, this is on my website. Now, interesting that it's from Bezos, Bezocom.com, and that's Jeff Bezos. Again, the guy that runs Alexa, the guy, you know, these people are omnipresent on the internet, and people have to become aware of just how much infiltration there's been of the system itself. Now, I still use Jewish-owned systems if I have no choice, or if it's going to provide me with the best access to something, because. Frankly, you can't avoid it in some instances. They've got that much control over certain segments of our world. But what we need to do is educate people on when they get to use these systems, that you are actually seeing a lot of propaganda at the same time. And, you know, we're winning in some quarters here. I mean, the fact is people are beginning to look at Zionist Jews as to blame for the financial mess and for the corruption. And if we can pin them with the corruption and the financial mess,
well, Darl,
they're in big trouble.
Let's talk about this Zionist Jew, Samuel Zell from Chicago. From my reading of it, this guy bought out the paper group a year or two ago for $5 billion, and he took basically the pension money of the workers to do it, and now they're about to go under.
That's right. And when they get into the bankruptcy court, creditors, bondholders will be paid. The pension funds will never be refunded. The people who are waiting for some sort of retirement or their 401k are out of luck. And this man is probably going to be moving to Israel with billions, a far larger sum of money than he put in there. But, you know, there are a lot of situations that America is facing right now that are just absolutely horrific. I see nothing but bad things for their future. And anybody who doesn't share this with their families in America right now are committing an act of evil against their own loved ones if they don't share this, because we're in a situation where people are going to be hauled away. There's going to be martial law. There may even be an invasion from foreign nationals. Who knows? Forces from outside the country. There will be certainly food riots. There's going to be electrical shortages and stoppages, and there's going to be mass unemployment. I don't see good stuff happening. I see the dollar collapsing in short order. This is just so bad. You know, how can you tell somebody at this late hour that they screwed up, Noel? Because, you know, they've been getting the messages from people like yourself and myself and many, many others for so long. How is it that they haven't caught on yet?
Well, I was reading a little quote from the Times, Darrell, during the week, and it said that the UK, as in the state, its credit worthiness is worse than McDonald's.
That's right.
Realism. We have Darrell. We have Ecuador that have decided they're not going to pay their the international Jewish bankers back their blood money.
Well, that's a start, because you know what? People, the countries like Ecuador, who are looking at two choices. One, their home public is going to turn on them for not being able to do any feeding of these starving masses, and they're saying, "Look, I would rather say up yours to the bankers than I would to my public." And that's going to happen in a lot of small countries. I think a lot more nations are going to follow suit.
I mean, that's also a hotbed of drugs and of cocaine and
money. Ecuador, not so much. Colombia, certainly, and Colombia has been an American stronghold for a long time. Of course, Peru and Bolivia are also big exporters. You know, we're talking very poor people there. The saving grace that Ecuador has is that their population of 15 or 16 million is very close to the land, and you know, you can take away the trappings of a modern world, and most of these people would only hiccup. It wouldn't be that bad for them. But you know, when you get to a place like Quito, where there is some sort of sophistication of lifestyle and everything, they are going into a tailspin, as is La Paz in Bolivia and many other places. I only see these smaller countries taking the hit first, but a lot of these larger ones like the U.S., Canada, Europe are right behind them, and I don't know what 6 months is going to bring, but it won't look good 6 months from now. In fact, I have a prediction to make here, and in 6 months from now, people will be longing for these troubles. They will be saying, "I wish things looked like they did 6 months ago."
Yeah, well, we have on our own forums, theinfounderground.com. We heard recently from Latin American View. You remember him, Darrell? You know who I'm talking
about?
Yes,
I do. Yeah.
He actually did about 20 shows on TIU, and then I think things were getting bad in South America, but his last report that I seen him on the forums, he said things were really bad. It's, you know, this is you know, the poor won't miss it as much. I think these people are going to get raped, or they are.
Well, they already have been, and yes, it is going to get ramped up. You know, these crooks, they steal from the easiest prey, and it seems like these poorer countries have been set up first. But there is no place safe from these criminals. And as long as people allow them to continue to steal, they're going to. The fact is we have to turn our ire and our anger and our attention 100% towards Zionist Judaism. Again, we need allies within the Jewish community to continue to expose these people for their crimes. You know, I've been reading a lot of stuff from Gilad Asmon out of Britain. He's a singer. this guy is a Bobby Fischer type of fellow who says, you know, not in my name, you know, I may be have been born a Jew, but I wasn't born a criminal, and I will be you know, I will be damned if somebody's going to you know, do these things in my name. And he's spoken out for, you know, with venom against these criminals, and we need more Zionist Jews to do that. Why? I mean, more Jews to do that against the Zionists. Why? Because if their support system begins to implode from within, they will not have a leg to stand on. Then we, from the outside, can rip them apart. And this is what we need to do. We need to tear this organization of Zionist control limb from limb. We need to beat them with the bloody ends, and we need to dispose of this group and these people from our lives permanently. They need to be assaulted in legal sense, in a moral sense, in a verbal sense, in every way you can come up with that will get rid of them. We have to assault them unrelentingly.
Absolutely. Interesting, Daryl. I was reading a post in the Jerusalem Post online edition from December 11th, 2008, and the heading is Does Jewish Anti-Semitism Exists? So I'd like to remind people that these Zionists are under attack as well. They should be, but we need to get, you know, more serious about it. But here it was a particular article written by a hardcore Zionist. It's all put into Rosner's domain. But you have this Professor Alvin H. Rosenfeld, who wrote an essay last year called Progressive Jewish Thought and the New Anti-Semitism. And this criminal network actually have to deal with some similar people that you just mentioned, Daryl, in the UK that were saying, not in our name, and I'm not going to talk exclusively about Neera Carter. I have some, there's some things I have to disagree with there as well. But you have a lot of people that I come across in different forums and whatever that would classify themselves as Jewish or, you know, or Zionist or whatever. Some of them are prepared, I'm seeing, to actually read some of this stuff. And it must be very, Darren, it must be terrible to be Jewish somewhere beyond some forum or on some blog somewhere anywhere in the world with their current ongoing shenanigans in the US and the UK and France, their genociding of the Palestinians. I mean, they're talking about a prison camp. They're building a huge 60-foot wall to keep 1.5 million prisoners in there. I don't know. It must, these people, I mean, they're reading it, unless they're absolutely head case and they're saying, no, we did good today, we killed another five, and we took over another bank and we did this. I mean, these people must be feeling the heat.
The criminals are certainly feeling the heat, but I think the real test of whether we can get rid of them or not is going to come when the people who are of good moral character from within the Jewish faith itself, okay? You know, there are people in the Jewish faith who believe in the Torah. And they're not Talmudic Jews. They're not Zoharites. They're not Babylonians. They're workaday people who have maybe a small corner business or whatever that for years has supported the Israeli experiment because they believed the propaganda they were being fed. What's happened over the last several years is that enough information has come out to prove beyond a doubt the things that they've been told are wrong, and many of these people are good enough in their hearts to be able to see this, and they're starting to balk at their own circumstance, their own community, the control that's been affected against them. And they're starting to say, look, not in my name. Now, this is a chorus that's growing, and if we can get that thing to be a shouting crescendo across the Jewish community, then we can rip this organization to shreds, because they rely on Jews to be blindly supportive of their crimes. And I think that they're in trouble on that score. The Christian community is coming out against them. Islam is finally exposing them. You know, you're looking at Pakistan now. Pakistan's got 180 million people, ladies and gentlemen. Take a thought of that. You know, any European country listening right now, there's no nation in Europe that has anywhere near that population. It takes more than Germany and France combined to even make two-thirds of that place. So the simple fact of the matter is Pakistan has an opportunity here to become a huge resource for the truth. And they're starting to. You watch the. We put up several articles from the PK News here, from the Pakistani local press, and you know they're telling it like it is, Noel. And this could really whip itself into a frenzy, but rather quickly. And you know, information in this modern world can pass from person to person in a matter of days rather than months and years.
Yeah, you know, mainstream media is, you know, is what we've always known has been a problem, and I just hope people actually look into it. But as on the current actual topic, Darrell, I'd like to just add a little caveat into that. The Jewish people, I had dinner the other evening, I had my neighbor who's Jewish come over, and he's well aware of my radio shows, and I won't say he's on the defensive, not at all. He's a very outspoken peace activist and whatever, comes from a Jewish family, absolutely not a practicing Jew of any religion, and we brought the subject, came up, and I said to him, well, you know, they say I'm a Catholic, I don't abide by any Catholic teachings, I don't go to church, so I wouldn't really consider myself a Catholic. And I said the same, I consider it the same for you, you don't go to the synagogue unless you've been going there secretly for the last 20 odd years that I've known you. I got the slight feeling that Jewish people that are kind of in his mindset want to get really smart, that there are people in our movement that are more outspoken than us, and they want to start rounding all of the Jews up again. So, you know, it's a question of us motivating some of these borderline open to the truth Jewish people. But I think the Jewish people will need to actually wake up, because remember, they did get rounded up and they did get sent to concentration camps or whatever you want to call them, and you know, the certain numbers are thrown around all the time. Imagine if you had been one of the smarter Jews and left Germany in 1938. Imagine if you knew. Are you going to be one of the ones left behind? I'm hearing it, Darrell. You know, I listen to alternative stuff, I read around, and some people say, Og, you can't trust any Jewish person. You can't trust the Jew. The Jew, and I disagree with that. This particular guy, I might disagree with him on his politics. I've known him for 20 years. He's a kind guy. His wife is Jewish. She's not doing too well. Told us to go out to her, she's really not doing too good. These people are not part of it, but there is a certain they're aware of their Jewish identity and their heritage, even if they're not practicing. And these people need to wake up that these Zionists, even if you're part of the Zionist movement, they're all expendable, and these people are just helping out something that will eventually be dropped like hot potatoes.
But you know, if you were a, let's put this in context then. If you were a Christian, a Catholic, and you believed, you know, in Jesus Christ and all of the different parts of the Christian faith, because a raft or a sling of scandals hit the press where priests were being found to be pedophiles and all this, which we've heard of in the past, would you then support the criminals, criminal pedophiles in the Catholic Church without reserve? Or would you say, look, my faith is that I believe in God, I believe in Mosaic law, I believe in the Ten Commandments, I believe in right from wrong, I believe in these things, and what we should do instead is not support these criminals.
Absolutely.
Now, the Jews are in the same situation. If you are a Talmudic Jew, then all of a sudden the Talmud is by its definition a criminal doctrine. It says that we're less than humans, they're the only humans. It says that we, you know, we're cattle, and
Darrell,
that Jesus Christ
I have a question for you, Darrell. I'm sorry to cut over you, Darrell. I have a question. We now know, it's very well known, that 90% of the Jewish world population are converts from Khazaria in the 8th, 9th century.
That's right, 8th century.
So, you hear about the Talmud and the Zohar and whatever. What's the story here? So these people convert into a choice of four books or three books or moved on to the Francis, and something that my education has come from your radio shows and IamTheWitness.com. I mean, how did that work? Do we know more about that? I mean,
we do. The fact is that they were interested in solidifying their country of Khazaria, their area, between two large groups of different religions. They had the Christians to the north and the east, and they had the Islamic and the west, and they had the Islam from to the south. If they were to join Islam, they would have had a frontal war against all of Christendom. If they joined Christendom, they would have had a frontal war against all of Islam. So the Kagan, the king of the Khazars, decided that a third religion would be the best one for his people, based upon the fact that they would not be at war with Christians or with Muslims. And thus keeping the status quo of their organization and not placing them at odds with either Christianity or Islam. However, the type of Judaism that they selected came from a virulent form, the Babylonian form of Judaism, which came out of the exodus from to Babylon, to of course to Iraq area, to the Fertile Crescent, and it was based upon very strange teachings in Babylon, where they had sacrifice, human sacrifice. They had Moloch. They had phallic worship. They had sexual deviancies. They had strange and bizarre sicknesses written about in this, what we call the Zohar. Now, most of their traditions were oral up until not that long ago, but those oral traditions were transported into Khazaria and taught to the population. Now, the Khazarian people were always a virulent group. They were the Mongol hordes that had attacked and conquered parts of Europe, and they had a long history of being middlemen that were vicious traders. They people from all over Central Europe were scared to death of the Khazars. They were very, very vicious. Yes. So they adopted to this new form of religion very well. And they were a perfect fit for this supremacist ideal. And then out of that grew movements over time. And the most important one was, of course, Sabbatai Zevi, or Sabbatai Zevi, who had the Sabbatean movement, which declared him as the savior. This was after Khazaria had fallen, and they had been dispersed to different centers around Eastern Europe, like Hungary and Poland and parts of Bavaria, Germany, and whatnot. They had small enclaves of Jewish community, and what grew out of these ghettos was the virulent form. Now, many people in the Jewish community still supported the idea that the Torah, and the Torah, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to look into it, supports the idea that a Mosaic law is the right law, the Ten Commandments that Moses said, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. This was the law that held sway in the Torah. The stuff that holds sway in the Talmud, and then by substitution the Zohar, you've got to read about it. It is a sickness, and we're talking about, if you think that some things in this world are hateful, you've never read real hate until you've read the Talmud.
But, I mean, this Jewish law, Darren, if we can get into this a little bit, we're talking about rabbinical, whatever the rabbis say goes.
That's right.
I mean, if they're pedophilic, there's, you can just, you know, research that, you'll find it. Whatever they say is Judaism.
That's right. And if the rabbi says, you know, the Talmud says, you know, if you penetrate a 3-year-old girl, then it's like poking your eye. If you have sex with a boy under 9, he hasn't become a man yet, then it's only considered, a mother can have relations with a child under 9, and it means nothing. Now, what mother would be messing around with her 8-year-old son? I mean, well, what kind of sickness would be purporting these kinds of actions? What would they say? I mean, the fact that they would call me cattle in the first instance is enough for me to say that's hate. The fact is that they say that they can steal from us with impunity and never have to apologize for it. That Jesus Christ is sitting in a vessel of semen and spit and burning in eternal fire. I mean, these kinds of things are hateful. And you know, to propose this as a religion, what it really is a sickness.
Absolutely, Plus, it's ongoing, Darren. They adapt very well. I think this is part of the reason the network works or has worked.
Well, and it does. And they demand loyalty at risk of death in many instances. I mean, they will not stop to not try and get rid of their most vocal, outspoken critics. Now, you remember me speaking about the World War II being a very perfect opportunity for these crooks. There were a lot of people who didn't go along with criminal Zionism. They didn't want to go to this dirt strip in the Middle East and start a new country. They wanted to remain parts of Europe. Well, you know, if you didn't want to get on those transfer boats and move on out of there and go to Palestine, then you were shoved off on the Germans to get rid of. And, you know, they had a perfect opportunity. They got rid of their opposition at the same time they were able to blame the Christian world for killing Jews. What people need to look into is who was killed and who ordered it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who are our masters? I'm just, we do. I know, Darren, on your map there, you'll see a particular island in the middle of nowhere, an American military island, and you have a lot of listeners there. But I'll read one from Haaretz.com, dated 13th of December 2008. U.S. Army sends American Israeli woman to Afghanistan by Khan Lipschitz. Haaretz correspondent. I'll just read the first two short paragraphs. The foreign minister on Thursday began reviewing an unusual plea from a 55-year-old American Israeli woman from Netanya, who is fighting the U.S. Army's decision to send her to active duty in Afghanistan, citing the fact that the command sergeant Orly Avor is an Israeli citizen. The woman's husband wrote to the foreign minister Levini that his wife's Afghanistan tour would be unnecessarily dangerous and irrational. These are the people that are fighting for, folks. There are little wars. Where's the next hotbed? We're now seeing. You mentioned Pakistan. You mentioned some numbers from Pakistan, 180 million people. If you were just to look at Western news, you think they're all fanatics. They're all ready to blow the rest of us up. We have clear evidence now in Mumbai that Mossad were all over it. What's your reading about what's your reading on the Indian, Pakistani, Afghanistan? We have opium production in Afghanistan has gone down by enormous amounts this year, if you're to believe the UN. Hear that the Taliban are now in control of over 70%. Opium goes down. There's less heroin around on the streets everywhere else. And they seem to be getting ready for Obama to come in and start up another war. So we have Afghanistan, Pakistan, India. We have nuclear weapons. I mean, this is insane. We have this frontal attack by these hardcore Jews, in the Zionist media.
Well, you're right, and it looks to me like Pakistan is a target. Looks like they've lost control of the population in Pakistan, by and large. And, of course, they lost Musharraf, so things are in flux there. They don't know what else to do. Now, there were people that were banging the war drums a long time ago. A very popular website that I find good information on gold on, but I do not in any way support this guy, Jim Sinclair, on Jim Sinclair's mindset. He's been banging the drum that Pakistan is to blame for all this stuff. The guy is absolutely wrong-headed, and there's no way that he doesn't know that. Now, you'll find this to be true throughout the investment world. Now, I got an interview supposedly coming up with this guy, Jim Willey, and we have to wait and see whether this is going to come off or not. But, you know, he's still pushing the idea that George Bush is doing this because he's a Nazi. I mean, my goodness, how far behind the curve can you be? Now, some of his information is spot on, but isn't it always the way? Now, that doesn't necessarily make somebody a bad guy, because, you know, you and I have had a process we've been through over the last 4 years where, you know, we held dear certain beliefs, but over time we had evidence and proof come into our laps that forced us to rethink our positions. And that is the definition of a thinking person, that you can realign yourself as new information comes available. Some of these other people are seeing new information and sticking to the script. And this is where you start getting red flags. Now, Pakistan does look like a target. Whether or not there's resources available out of the United States to even start another war would be shocking to me. But I guess, you know, they can print fake money again, and I don't know what they can do. You know, the fact that we're still afloat at this late date shocks me. Man. So I wouldn't put anything past anybody. Maybe they'll get India to do their dirty work for them. They got India's whole whole police force to stand down against the Israeli attack in Mumbai. The police stood there with their weapons and didn't fire on these guys.
Well, except a couple of top cops that were investigating Mossad activity and had found proof of Mossad activity were shot in the back of the head.
That's right, and they were the top supposed terrorist investigators. They found out it was Israeli Jews and Mossad agents doing it out of the Shabbat Lubavitch house that worldwide is a Siam hotbed for Shin Bet and Mossad activity and criminal activity. And these guys were summarily murdered and killed in unbelievable stuff that happened, and none of it is reported mainstream. None.
Absolutely.
And it's not being reported in India either. However, it's leaking out, you know, and the Pakistan population is learning the facts as well, because actually their newspapers are starting to tell the truth, which is really shocking.
I think one is to be careful, Darrell, when people are, you know, worrying about where they're going to get their food and whatever, they'll be a lot less open to the alternative, to the truth of what's really going on. And, you know, we've an uphill battle and people need to get more active.
No, they do. They need to pound the drums harder. I mean, look, I do the best I can with the resources I have, Noel. I know, you know, you've got other responsibilities, and I mean, you know, I do my best. My best sometimes falls short in my view, but it's all I got at any given moment I give. The fact is that we need people to even give half of what we've been given here. If that were the case, the tens of thousands of people that listen up to the French Connection and to your broadcast on Information Underground, they if we were doing this honestly, we would make a much larger footprint. The fact is, they are trying to stop us. I am banned in a lot of places. My numbers are not what you see represented. I you know, you can't get me in a library in most American states. You can't get me in Canada unless you go through your own home. You can't go in any public place and have I am the witness. I'm being banned in parts of Sweden. I'm being banned in parts of Germany. I mean, Austria. It's happening worldwide that the French Connection's information is getting banned. And the simple fact is that means that we have to scream louder to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it goes there. We have some, we do have some allies out there. Darrell, we're getting closer to Christmas, and hopefully I'll get to another show or two. Time is against me work-wise, but I'm planning on having a lot more free time next year. The recession is coming, people. You've been told Darrell has done X amount of hours, amazing audios with Mohammed Rafiq. On what is happening, what was going to happen, what's on us, and what's coming, what's going to happen in the future. The mainstream media are saying tens of thousands of jobs are being lost all over the place. They're giving you know 5 million people lose their job in China. It probably doesn't make any difference to most people once, you know, they can go to Walmart and get their cheap products. There's going to be a lot of changes next year, Darrell.
It's going to be a year that everybody will wish at the end of it they didn't live through, and many people won't live through next year. I tell everybody, look, grab food and put it into storage. Grab bullets and your guns if you're legally able to. You know, hunker down here because the crap's hitting the fan. And as much as they tell you it's not coming, they're liars, and don't believe them. It's on its way. Anybody with a pair of eyeballs and two brain cells to rub together, no, we're in big, big trouble. This is not a recession, ladies and gentlemen. This is a full-on Mad Max collapse that we're looking at. Now, whether or not we can stop it in its tracks and make it into a severe depression instead of a Mad Max world, it remains to be seen. you know, what I would do if I took over is I would forgive all private debt of every creditor in America, every single person who owns a home, and everybody, their debt would be forgiven. You know, back in the biblical times, we had 7-year jubilees, and those jubilees would, if you had a debt after 7 years, it was forgiven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what we need to do. We need a guy, put me in office as president, and I'll forgive everybody's debt. How's that for a campaign slogan?
It lasts about 4 seconds to be shot.
Well, I'm still thinking they're probably going to shoot me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Darryl. People have been told that I've been quiet, trying to prepare myself, getting some supplies in, and a bit of gold, a bit of silver as well. Ammunition, a torch. I bought a couple of lamps, spare batteries. It's always good to have a few batteries around. Just look at the news. Look at this hotbed. I think we'll leave on this, Darryl. The biggest hotbed of Zionist activity at the moment seems to be in Chicago.
Yep.
You have Rahm Emanuel. He's already in scandal. This guy is telling this other scumbag down there, you effing do this, and you take this effing person, and all recorded on wiretaps, probably legal or illegal. Doesn't seem to be much of a difference nowadays in America. What do you make of all of this?
Well, this Blagojevich guy, you know, was put in power. He was selected for the job as governor, and of course he didn't go along with the full program, so he was gotten rid of. You know, what he did was said, wait a minute, Bank of America, you can't come in here anymore and do business with us because you're doing crooked stuff. That got him outed for all this other stuff. You know, there is nobody that gets into these high offices without being completely held prostrate to the gang, to the crime gang. Now, the bottom line is that, here's just another example of Zionist criminality that we need to puff up. We need to get it into the eyes and ears of every American and European to let them see just how blatant this Zionist criminal activity is. And it sells our story even further into the mainstream. This is an opportunity for us to say, look, they're at it again. Look at how clearly this is happening. And we need to pound the drums of truth, man, because you know what? Time is short. Time is short. And I got to get everybody out there to get on the horn. Call up your friends. Call up people. Say, look at this conspiracy. It is real. It has been sussed out by people like by Ogner and Smith and so many others. Look into this and find out if you can find a flaw in their thinking. And if you can, make sure you write me a letter and say, hey, you're flawed. Show me where I make my mistake. And don't make it on the fact that I make a mistake in a statistic by 1% or 2%, or I make a problem with a passage because I don't give it to you perfectly. That's nonsense. I'm talking about the general conspiracy. Is there a problem with it? If you find a problem with it, tell me where I'm wrong. Show me where the real truth is. I'll examine it. And if you're right, I will come out and say I'm wrong. How's that?
Absolutely, Darryl, which you have done many times. The mea culpas over the years, it happens. But I think that's from ongoing research, and sometimes we find ourselves wrong, and you have to relook at your previous research and move on.
That's right. That's right. Darryl, you know, I want to thank you for having me on today, Noel. I know you've got a busy schedule. You even work weekends sometimes. You know, Christmas is coming up, and you know, I've been a little bit down in the dumps here, losing a family member over here. I mean, a lot of people don't know that I considered my dog of 13 years part of my family. But you being a dog owner, loving your dogs, you know that is the case when you have a dog that you love. And it put a black cloud over my head for some days. And, I'm starting to come out of it a little bit here. I always hope to see my little dog sitting at my feet, and he's not there anymore. But I've come to grips with losing him. We're back at the fight here. I want everybody to understand what this holiday's for. It's for reflection. It's for kindness. It's for goodwill toward men. We need to take these further from just being words and put them into action. And the greatest goodwill gesture you can have for your fellow man is to tell others the facts and the truth, and to make sure that more people know these truths.
Absolutely, Daryl. Listen, I'll leave with that, Daryl. Poetry in motion, ongoing. Looking forward to talking to you privately very soon and have you back on for another show. Last words, Daryl, I'll leave with you.
Well, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season and Christmas, especially. Merry Christmas.
Don't forget
that the reason for this holiday is Christmas, and it is not for them to, you know, if you've got a community Santa Claus on the lawn of your fire station, don't let Zionist Jews tell you it's not legal. Tell them to go pound sand in their ear and then say, now we know who you are and where you're at, and you're a criminal. And we'll be coming for you guys. We'll be coming for every one of you. So stand up for your rights. This is a Christmas holiday. It's for Christmas, and it's celebrated. Enjoy it, and become closer to your families. Tell them the truth while you're visiting with them, exactly what's going on in this world. Thanks, Noel.
And that was Daryl Bradford Smith. Very kind of him to come on and give his opinions. We're coming on 9:30 Central European Time, Sunday the 14th of December, so it's about time for me to get off my butt and go walk my boys. We'll try to keep in touch, at least try to do a show a week. The Info Underground, some good stuff to read there. Numbers are growing, nice and steady, no big deal there. It's all about the information, all about numbers or personalities, and especially not me. Looking forward to hopefully in 2009 we'll get a few more guys to come up and do a few shows. You know, some of them come up, do a couple of shows, and then run out of steam, or, you know, take a break, take a breather. You get aware of more people. I'm aware of that four-way radio show last night. I listened to bits of it, and there seemed to be no direction. I think that sort of stuff could have been dealt with privately, or, you know, move on and get back on the information. It's very important here to stay on topic and stay ahead of the curve here on what these people are going to try to do to us, basically financially, spiritually, everything you can mention in 2009. And if they don't get you then, they might get you in 2010, and then they might bring you up a little bit just to bring you down harder, the next generation down harder, because this is a generational thing. They've come after us for down the centuries. The people that controlled the shekels, the gold, the silver, not the hardest working people, have controlled the strings, they've controlled the royals, the politicians, figured out at a very long time ago this is how to do it, and I think that's exactly where we are. Just the Ogdor saying goodnight. I'm a little bit tired here, so I'll go walk my dogs, and I'll release this on direct download on theinfounderground.com and on via BitTorrent.